Hi, welcome to Mad Mania. It's me, the Neo X. Hi, we're gonna do another show for y'all. And today with me, hi, hey, T Car, are you there, buddy?
Hi.
We are here. We're getting ready to do another fantastic episode of the Mad Mania podcast.
Remember?
Hi.
Remember that?
Remember that? It's a thing still, right? We are still tag teaming it. Our other brothers, what can we say? They're probably injured or working for another promotion.
That's cool. They got wrote off by injury.
They're like Aleister Black right now, written off TV for some reason.
Kofi got that good write off treatment.
But G1 still New York. Rock Knowledge is not at home. But you know, we're still gonna hold y'all down. So thanks for joining us for another episode again. Hi, welcome. It's going to be a fun one. We're going to get into some of the wrestling news, get into, you know, some of our takes, feelings, opinions on the world of wrestling. But before that, let's get our plugs in. Let's get our shit in. Let's see. Oh, yes, of course. Patreon.com. Go to Patreon.com. Search the Mad Mania podcast. Keep shilling. We want you guys to become patrons. We want to start delivering some more bonus content, try to get y'all some merch, things like that. We're definitely taking suggestions for different tiers. Patreon's a great investment. Of course, all the archive episodes and write-ups are also available. If you can't get enough of the Mad Mania content, we got some extra for y'all there in the Patreon.
Yes, sir. Some music from Mega Ran, some write-ups from Neo X. Mm-hmm. Then we got some write-ups from Rock Knowledge in there as well as some bonus episodes that we're looking to get back into doing for all of you out there.
Absolutely. Additionally, our pro wrestling tea store is still open. A couple spider webs in the corner, but it's still open. And we wish for y'all, check us out at prowrestlingtees.com, Mad Mania Podcast. Check us out, buy some t-shirts. Obviously, the more t-shirts we flip, the we'll have access to submit some fresh new designs. You know us, we about the art, we about the fashion, the culture. If we can get access to new design or get the ability to, you know, upload new designs, you know, our shit could be fire too. We know people who do that art.
Also, if any of the fans out there do artwork and want to pitch any new Mad Mania designs, you can hit us up on Twitter or on Instagram, and maybe we can work some business out.
You know what? That's a really good suggestion. Yeah, if you're about that art life and you want to pitch some stuff, I think that'd be a good way for us to invest possibly some of our Patreon funds to help, you know, support the show, to give it some, you know, some more love in that way. So yeah, check us out on Twitter at Mad Mania Podcast, and then on Instagram, Mad Mania Pod.
We need to get like some anime art.
I think it'd be dope if we did kind of like, how Bernard artwork, mm-hmm. kind of like his style, like is really dope. And like, I was always a big fan of that, you know, the number one headband EP yeah. that you put out, like that art so hard, like it's just fresh.
Oh yeah. And I was thinking of if you know the South Park episode where they did the anime episode.
Yeah.
Yeah, which will bring us into the putovers, since I'm gonna be talking about South Park anyway.
But, yeah, so when you brought this putover to my attention, it's not like an episode. It's apparently a whole season?
Yeah, well, the season isn't that long. The season 23 is only 10 episodes. But as you know, I recently got HBO Max, and South Park is on there, all of these 23 seasons. I'm not sure if this 23rd season was the last season, or if they're on 24 now, because South Park is forever going. But this episode, I mean, this season was a funny season to me because, like, the end of season 22, it had left off with, like, Stan's dad telling them that they should move out of South Park onto a farm and start living as farmers. But mm-hmm. the reason that he really goes out there is to start growing weed. So not to be an actual farmer, but to be a weed farmer. And he starts a farm called Integrity Farms and has commercials and everything talking about how people in South Park have lost their integrity. So Integrity Farms.
Wow. Okay.
So season 23 starts off with, you know, instead of them doing the South Park song intro, it's now it's come on down to Integrity Farms and have yourself a time. So this whole season is themed around Integrity Farms now.
And so it's kind of like, because I want to say it's like a spinoff because it's in a different location.
It is. It's like a spinoff. Season 23 is, because it's based around Integrity Farms, but he also talks about it like it's a spinoff too, like this like they have a Halloween episode and he keeps talking about we're trying to do the Halloween special, like it's the Halloween special episode, but he's talking about the Halloween special as some weed that they're growing that's called the Halloween special that they're going to be selling.
According to Wikipedia, okay, it's season 5 or not season 5, I'm sorry, episode 5 in season 23. Uh-huh. It's Integrity Farms Halloween special. Oh man.
So
okay, I can get behind this. I'm already laughing my ass off apparently.
Yeah, cuz then so episode 6 is the finale of the Integrity Farms season, but then there's still 1, 2, 3. There's still 4 more episodes, right? 3 of the episodes are filler episodes based around other characters, like season 7 is based on the principal's wife. Season 8 is based off of
Kyle's 8,
mom. Episode 8. And then episode 9 is about the kid who has diabetes. But then episode 10, they come back to Integrity Farms because it's Christmas time. And he's like, oh, you guys want me to do a Christmas special? So it still ties into, like, he was like, oh no, my season's been over. And they're like, oh, we need you to come back and do a Christmas special. But they're talking about needing some Christmas weed, but they make it sound like, you know, it's the Christmas episode. And on that episode, he ends up getting coke legalized, and he was selling selling weed that was covered in coke, and he was calling it Integrity Farms Christmas Snow.
And then
somebody got it had made it illegal to sell that. So then he just started selling the snow, so it was just jars of coke.
Holy moly.
It said Integrity Farms Snow without the tree.
Okay. So that sounds pretty hilarious. I mean, I have HBO Max. I can't get enough of it. There's so much content, really, when you break it down. I totally forget South Park is even on there. Shoot. Okay. I got to give that a go then. For sure.
Yeah, man. Check that season out. I mean, you said you're looking at it on Wikipedia. The first episode is called Mexican Joker.
And that's right. Yeah. Kyle sent to an ICE detention center. Good gravy.
Yeah, and they're talking about, so at the ICE detention center where all the kids are staying, they're talking about what do they call it? Well, I'm losing my train of thought. When a superhero, their origin story, he was like, what if this is the origin story for Mexican Joker?
Because
Stan told them, this is how you guys can create a Mexican, Kyle told him, this is how you guys can create a Mexican Joker.
that's the perfect breeding ground to create a supervillain in a detention center. That's for sure.
So that's
for sure. Okay. I mean, 10 episodes, that's not bad. 30 minutes apiece. You can definitely tackle that. Sure.
Yeah, and probably like 20 episodes. I mean, 20 minutes or something like that, because you know the stuff made for TV, so it's never really 30 minutes. So
commercials.
20 minutes an episode. Shoot through that. I watched probably half that season one night. You know, it's once you get into it, it's funny, and then you just let the shit play. So you know, for all you South Park fans out there, or HBO Max fans, if you got HBO, yeah, make sure you check out that
and all of my
weed smokers out there.
Check it out, indeed.
Get you some Integrity Farms.
Integrity Farms. For sure. Good deal. My put over is an oldie but goodie. It's a video game released back in actually 2017. It's actually called Everybody's Golf. I picked it up from GameStop by part of like a buy two get two free sale. Buy two use games, get two use games for free.
Is GameStop back open, or did you have to get it delivered?
They are, some of their locations are still open.
Okay.
But they're limiting, like, I think it's 10 people per store. Face coverings are mandatory. But I order these online, so.
You picked them up, or did you get them delivered?
I got them delivered.
Okay.
So no big deal for on my behalf. But I did notice, like, whenever I do get games delivered, they always give me, like, the shit cases with no art. And so that's kind of garbage.
They give you those cases with the green inserts.
They gave me the bootleg cases with, like, the print that just says name on it, you know? So that's kind of shitty. But either way, the game is great. Everybody golf. Like, back in the day, in the old, like, PlayStation 1 games, I had this game called Hot Shots Golf, and it was super fun. Even when I had my PSP, I would play Hot Shots Golf as well. So I've always had this fondness for, like, these types of golf games. Not, like, the simulator games like Tiger Woods, y'all. Uh-huh. But like, these type of, like, arcade-ish, cartoon, I guess you could say, type of golf games, because they're just fun. Yeah, I picked this up, and, man, when I read some of the reviews on it, when I was adding it to my cart, it said it was really fun. So I was like, all right, well, what I got to lose? It's a free game anyway. Come to find out, it's super easy to play. You know, you essentially just have to hit three – you have to time three buttons or time – you have to time press the button three times, which X, and then you can, like, flip back and forth between clubs. And it's just drawn nicely. You can customize your character. It's multiplayer. You can play, online, offline. It's just a fun video game. And they of course –
So you're saying – did you say it has a created character, or you can just customize the characters that are already there?
Yeah, you can create a character, you know, within the limitations of this, you know, this anime style or cartoon style golf game.
Have you created a character?
Oh, for sure. I created one. Isaiah already created one.
And what color polo shirt are you wearing?
So I was wearing a blue one, and then Isaiah wanted me to customize my character to wear nothing but pants or nothing but underwear and a tank top and no shoes, because he said he wanted to be a hobo golfer. So I got that to deal with. But I think it's a great game. It's got, like, these arcade style. It's arcade style, but the better you play, you actually level up your clubs, which I think is really cool because it gives you a sense of progression, you know. And, of course, you know, any games that have progression, you want to play more. So I'm having a fun time with it. I've played it, like, maybe three times, and with that, I've absolutely loved it. So if you ever get a chance to play Everybody's Golf and you got that PlayStation, maybe we can golf online. Let me know.
Let me ask you a question, Neo, since you play a lot of video games. For sure. During this quarantine period, downtime, whatever you want to call it, working at home, where you're spending a lot more time at home, do you find yourself being drawn more to playing old video games that you once had a fondness for, or that you missed playing, as in, like, didn't buy it or didn't get a chance to play it when it came out, or looking more forward to new games?
Actually, you know, actually your first point, like, I played a bunch of nostalgia games. I actually, when the whole pandemic happened, I picked up a PS2, which had a bunch of, like, old games, and I played a bunch of those. After that, I got my PlayStation 1 modded with just a bunch of old PlayStation 1 games. And then, after I would play that, I started, you know, my kids were acting like little weirdos, and I took away their Xbox 360. I put the Xbox 360 in the living room, and I've been playing old Xbox 360 video games. So, and then obviously, you know, when I did the buy two, get two free for the PlayStation games, they were older games also. And there were games that I've never played before. So normally, like, my day would consist of, oh, let me play Overwatch, Call of Duty, or, like, NBA Live. But now, like, I'm not even really online that much, and I'm just playing offline games by myself. So, yeah, I think I definitely fall into that category where I'm just playing some old games, you know. And because I think now, like, you know, in the quarantine, right, there's not really much to do, and it's hard to actually create new memories, you know, like, by, you know, going out, maybe going on vacation, right? You're kind of just treading water currently, right, during the pandemic. And I know there are some people that may, you know, reply with, yeah, you can always make the most of it. And that's totally fine. I definitely respect that. But I think my mindset was reliving the past was kind of my way of finding comfort because of the uncertainty that we live in currently. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, like, I would feel a comfort when I would play, like recently I've been playing Fallout New Vegas, like before I got these other games from GameStop. I was playing Fallout New Vegas, you know? And man, I remember putting in so many hours in that game. And I remember I used to work at GameStop, bro, when that game came out. And I just remember, wow, like, you know, when I would play this game, I would get off like a hard, like I would get off, you know, late working at GameStop in the mall. Mm-hmm. And then the mall's closed. And I was thinking about all the fun times I had at the mall, at Metro Center Mall, you know? So I think, you know, kind of to the point to this, the future is obviously unknown. And I think I just revert to some of like the past because I can try to relive those memories. And a lot of it's linked to video games, you know?
For sure. So, the reason I was asking that question is because I was talking to some guy and he was talking about how, you know, oh, like this is in regards to music. He was saying like, oh, this is the best time for people to be putting out music because we're not really getting a lot of new music right now. And all the bigger artists are like holding off on putting out new music, maybe because of the pandemic and things sure. like that. So he was saying people are looking for new music. This would be a good time to put new music out. But I also mm-hmm. I rebutted that and saying, well, it's a great time to catch up on music that you may have missed mm. or our old catalogs to revisit and things like that, because I don't really think people are looking for new music right now, because as you said with your statement about like not really making memories and things, there's not really much to get out and listen to new music doing. So and that I think people fall back on what they're familiar with. Like when people are cleaning up, they probably listen to like oldies and things like that, or you know, there's not
jam band, baby.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of people doing much driving or much clubbing, which is where a lot of music gets played. So I don't think that people are really, like, looking to absorb new music as much as they are with just, like, the member berries and just, you know, remembering what something was. But I also feel like, hey, catch up on stuff that you've missed. You know, I remember Cap had said one day he was watching, like, a new movie every day that he missed, you know. Just because like there's so much entertainment out here and so much entertainment that we miss or just can't consume, that even if it went down to like, oh, you know, a year or maybe 2 years or something, where if they shut down movie companies and things like that, or TV studios, and said, oh, you know, we're not making anything new. I think I told somebody, like, every time I look and see, like, how many seasons of television something is, like a show I've never seen, and it has 10 seasons. So, you know, there's always TV and shows and movies out there, music, video games that you've missed. So don't let this time of, you know, uncertainty, as Neo put it, get you down. There's always plenty of stuff that you can get out there and catch up on. And shit, I buy video games late anyway. I don't really be in the water cooler thing of, oh, I need to get this right now so I can talk yeah. about somebody else who played it. I'm like, that game is going to be just as fun when I buy it for $30 or $25 as it will be when it comes out for $70. So,
yeah, you know, you make an excellent point, because I remember I was listening to like a random Spotify station, because it like kind of, it was like a Spotify mix based on like my likes and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And one, honestly, the name of the song leaves my memory, but when I hear it, I remember it, because you would play music when we would go on wrestling trips while we were getting ready. You would play what was it?
Is it some Drake and Future?
No, it was some old school stuff.
Oh, some old school stuff, like some
you would play
Standing or something like that. That's Gap Band.
Yeah, Gap Band. Thank you. Okay. So Gap Band was on my playlist, and I remember, like, man, I remember Teak would play this while we were getting ready to go to cons and shit, like for wrestling shows. And again, that kind of, you know, kind of filled my heart space in my mind with, you know, I can't wait to go and you know, check, you know, hang out with my crew and, you know, go check out some new wrestling shows or conventions and whatnot. You know what I'm saying?
Hell yeah.
Cause it's stuff like that. Like you would play Gap Band while we were getting ready to get, you know, get fresh and get ready to go out.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that, you know, so it really goes back to what you said.
So speaking of catching up on some wrestling shows, and I know that off air, you were talking about some wrestling news. How about we get into some wrestling news first and talk about how people okay. might be able to catch a wrestling show on a ship. So, and it is not the Cruise of Jericho.
It's not the Cruise of Jericho. So Matt Maniacs, you probably saw in all over the Twitter sphere or Instagram universe, SummerSlam on a cruise ship. What do you think of that? I think you brought it up also in our group chat, uh-huh. right?
Yeah.
And I think when I read it, you know, it kind of plays to Vince McMahon's want and need to kind of like, you know, go extravagant and have people right.
Right.
On, to watch the wrestling. But so the thought that immediately popped in my head was, how is this possible? First and foremost, like I went to the first Jericho cruise and I know how it can be done. It's just, I don't know in the state that we're currently live in, if you have the okay to do this on a cruise ship. Hell,
well, I don't think that they're going to cruise the ship. Like, I don't think that they're going to be out in the water. The ship is going to be in the water because it's got to be. But what I mean is, I think it's going to be docked.
Oh,
not out on the water.
At the port. It's going to be at the port.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go anywhere. Okay, that makes sense.
Right, but it'll just be on it. Like, remember when they did it on the, like, the naval airship or something like that, where they did the...
Yeah.
When Lex Luger slammed Yokozuna and stuff like that. Like, I think it'll okay. be something like that, like just a location so that it's outside, because if you set it up on the cruise ship, and then, you know, they can also have matches at the beach. So they could have a location where it's at the beach. They could have a ring set up at the beach and a ring set up on the cruise ship, you know, where they can tape different, you know, so that it's got different looks and things like that. I think he's just looking of doing something more than the Performance Center, which he's been doing Center. With like the Boneyard match and the what was
the swamp match, the eye match, the bar match.
The, I'm trying to think of the Money in the Bank match at the WWE oh, yeah. headquarters. Yeah, so I mean, right. they're trying to do things that are out of the norm, but to gather attention, because, you know, they're losing viewership and things like yeah. that during this time. But also, I think, you know, they're getting to the point where it's like, okay, we're doing these things, but yet the show is not sustaining, because this is probably just yeah. one match on the show. The Boneyard match is one match. So, you know, people watching it still gets boring, you know, with not having a crowd and stuff like that. You know, not that the matches and the wrestling aren't good, but, you know, it's just the atmosphere that draws you in. So, you know, they were talking about Vince is tired of only having a few NXT people in masks cheering at the shows and stuff like that. So he's looking to do something outside to be able to have more of a crowd. And the crowd still may be limited to how many people he's allowed to have there and things like that. But, you know, it's just a start to start trying to gather people back to the events.
That's a great point.
I have been seeing some indie shows try to do like outside events and stuff too, to try to get people to come back. So,
yeah, like the recent, well, the most recent one was that GCW show, right?
Uh huh.
I saw clips of that on Instagram with like Leo Rush versus Joey Janela. I mean, it makes sense. I think when it comes to WWE doing ideas like this, I say bring it on. Obviously, within,
because they have the money to do it.
Exactly. They have the money to do it. And then if they can do it within the parameters set by, you know, the government or the CDC or whatever it is, I say do it. I want to be entertained by WWE. When I think of WWE currently, I don't think of, to be honest, I don't really think of the greatest wrestling right now. I just
You're not entertained right now?
Not entertained right now, no. And I don't think there's a current storyline that wants to pull me back in, you know?
No, the only thing I can think of that they got going on, right? Well, they got a few storylines, but yeah, none of them are too anything. I mean, Randy Orton is Randy Orton's going to be going after Drew, so that might be cool.
Yeah. So it's funny. It's funny. I mean, that happened on Raw, right? And I was kind of thinking to myself, okay, he's going to go after Drew, but what about what was he doing before, right? He was going after these legends, making these points, making these points and whatnot. And I like that because it brought an edge to Randy Orton. So is in his promo, he says like, he's going to be better than The Rock. He's going to be better than Stone Cold. So do you think now that he's getting rid of the legends, he can be now like the ultimate legend by becoming champion? I couldn't connect the two, Teak. I couldn't connect the fact that he all of a sudden woke up one morning on a Monday, wanted to be the champion. Is he done doing his other, business? I don't think so.
I think it all correlates because I just think it all correlates with like being the best. And if you're going to be the legend killer and try to, you want to be the best, then you also want to be champ too. Why can't I do both? Why can't I destroy legends on my way to getting to whoever the champ is? I don't think the legend gimmick is over because he's going to fight, Drew at SummerSlam probably. So leading up to SummerSlam, he might annihilate another legend on Raw.
I thought the whole thing was with he and Edge. Like he and Edge were still kind of going back and forth, but Edge got injured though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then people were saying like, maybe Orton will turn on Ric Flair.
Oh, so, man, that'd be sad.
So maybe you'll get like a Ric Flair punt before SummerSlam.
He's going to kick the gold off that dude. I was just kind of – because that was a good story. Like, I was always interested to see who he's going after next. And then all of a sudden, I'm going to be the champion or I want to be the champion at SummerSlam. I guess I'm just trying to find out, like, where it all connects. Because, like, for example, MJF cut this seething promo on AEW about how he wanted to be the champion, and he did it in an entertaining way. Uh-huh. And mind you, he actually did it in a very like compelling way also. Like he cut like a triple S plus promo on AEW. So I kind of try to draw the comparison between the two where you have, MJF who, has been making a point throughout his career to be the best. And now all of a sudden, on the most recent episode, he really drove the point home. I was ready for that. But I was actually thinking he was going to go for that TNT title first. But
AEW still has somebody who thinks he's a dinosaur. So, got to take your pros with your cons.
Yeah.
have believable promos and then you fight dinosaurs.
For sure. And it's just like, on the other hand, too, you don't even have interesting characters on Raw. So,
yeah, because the whole Seth story, I don't even know what's going on with this. I think it's going to lead up to, I was about to call him Nicholas.
Yes.
What is Ray's son's name?
Dominic.
Dominic. I think it's going to lead up to Dominic joining Seth. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, and I think we talked about that the last episode, right? I think we were trying to call out that Dominic was going to be more involved in the match.
As Monday, he came out and fought, though.
Yeah.
Got into a scuffle.
Yeah. But, it was just a scuffle. I mean, it's not really highlighting the work that he knows because he can work for sure.
Yeah, I think they're just getting used to it, getting them more involved so that they can. Mm-hmm. Get ready to try to figure out his big match. Maybe he'll fight Seth at SummerSlam because everybody's eyes is fucked up. They just did. Alistair.
They should just make Seth Rollins the new optometrist of WWE. Because, again, I like the compelling characters on AEW. It's just at least there's characters there that we can actually, maybe suspend our disbelief with. Versus on SmackDown... Or I'm sorry, on the WWE side, there's just nothing to get behind. Like when Warhorse was on AEW, like, he's kind of a character in a way, you know, with his face paint, you know, and, you know, his Viking spirit. Like, you have the Viking Raiders on WWE, but they're not even that cool anymore, you know?
Well, so, no, they've been getting jobbed out. But before we jump over to AEW, talking about Warhorse and some other surprise people that popped up on the show, you were saying that there's nothing on WWE that you can get behind right now. What about Big E's possible solo run? Since,
yes,
as I said, Kofi is getting wrote off due to injury, and we know Xavier Woods isn't there. So
right,
Kofi was bigging Big E up, telling him that this could be his chance.
See, I can definitely get behind that. I feel like that narrative could definitely help me at least watch his growth, because I feel like if Big E can also control his narrative, I feel like he would do it right. And if the writing crew, if they have like at least some sort of wrestler support that's doing like the writing for them, I think it could really go in Big E's favor. Because if they're just like regular writers, I don't think they'll get it. But if I think there was a wrestler or a former wrestler that's writing television now, like Paul Heyman and Bruce Pritchard, obviously, whatever they've been doing, it's just not working for me.
I heard that what's his name, Daniel Bryan, and do I want to say Edge, have been helping out with some of the writing lately.
See that right there, Teak? That's news, because if that is legit, then that can definitely drive my point home. Then if that is legit, then I will tune in, because
I think they said that Daniel Bryan was like the reason that four-way match, was it a four or five way to see who was going to fight AJ Styles, where you had
Grand Metalik,
and Lince Dorado, and Drew Gulak, and you know, just a lot of guys who don't get opportunities.
And that match was fire. Like, you had a perfect blend of styles, like, you know, going against each other. When I actually took the time to watch that match, and I like it. Like, the fact that you have, you know, Grand Metalik going for the title on Friday, mind you, we're recording this on Thursday, it fills me with lots of hope, because I know that's going to be a fire match. You know, they have so much talent on the WWE side, but I feel like it's just not being put to the best, it's not being showcased to the best degree.
Well, it sucks, because it's like, on the one hand, they want to put their best stars, or I guess the most money making stars, I guess, in the forefront, due to the fact that since you know, there's no crowds and there's other things that's taken away from the show, they're like, at least we can show them the people that, you know, the people want to see. That's why, like, Sasha and Bayley are on Raw and SmackDown, and you know, there's really not any brand split right now, because it's just like, hey, you know, if we need to throw this person on Raw to make people tune in, then that's what we're gonna do right now, type stuff.
That makes some pretty good sense, bro. Because I feel like if they're analyzing like their key demographics, they know like, oh, well, the people who are selling the most merch are, you know, maybe these people. So we should feature them heavier than most.
Right. But the reason why I was saying that sucks, or that's a bad thing, is that during this pandemic time, you seem would seem like that this would be a good time to showcase mid-card talent.
Yeah.
And build mid-card talent up, you know, in storylines that might not have big payoffs, but it doesn't really matter, because you're not pulling in as big of audiences right now. So you can have a Lince Dorado or Grand Metalik fighting an AJ Styles. You know AJ Styles is going to win, but you're putting these guys up in positions that they weren't in before.
Well, they'll shine. Yeah, they're going to catch that shine going up against AJ.
Yeah, like Gulak and Daniel Bryan and just other stuff like that. You know, when you bring up these mid-card talent that, you know, you've probably been shitting all over when you did have fans and TV coverage, but now that, you know, and a lot of these these bigger name people, you know, they got reasons. Like, you can send them home, they can rest, you know, they're trying not to catch COVID, any other situations that are going on, you know. So, to me, it just felt like a good time that they would want to utilize mid-carders to bring them up, build stories up, to make them more important. So, when everything comes back full circle, you can have some new stars.
Yeah. And I can appreciate that, because honestly, I was really behind the Andrade Angel Garza story, you know, and then it started flip flopping, and then it just got cold, and then I just left. You know what I'm saying? That was what was keeping me in. And then I find out, okay, they're going to win, you know, they're now in contention for the titles. I'm like, okay, I definitely want to watch that.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, they just challenged Street Profits for the titles.
Yeah. And I would want to watch that for sure. Because I think, you know, again, and we preach this all the time, wrestling is fun. You should, you know, cheer for who you want to, boo who you want to, and just, you know, follow who you want to. And it doesn't matter on what brand they're on, just to support who you like, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. So, Neo, you ready to dive into AEW?
So, yeah, so... And you know what? You're making a great comparison that I also wanted to bring into AEW, talking about highlighting mid-cards. AEW is doing a great job highlighting indie wrestlers, you know? Although they're all losing to Cody, but they're being showcased in a fantastic light. I feel like once business opens, this is going to provide a lot more booking power for these guys. They now have exposure on TV. TV experience, you know, and I think, you know, obviously that experience you can only learn by doing, you know, there's no real school of thought for that.
Cody's open challenge is cool because he's bringing people on the challenge, and that's not just AEW talent. You know, I feel like if Chris Bay hadn't, you know, signed to
Impact,
he'd show up on one of these open challenges, you know?
He whipped that ass.
It's just cool that now you can imagine, like, oh, whoever your favorite indie guy is, like, maybe he might get a chance to show up on AEW and challenge Cody for the title. And that's exciting.
And that is very exciting. And I'm just glad to see this type of showcase, because it potentially – because all these wrestlers, again – it goes back to cheer for who you like, have a following. All these wrestlers have a following, whether it's like in GCW, whether it be, you know, your local promotion in your hometown. If you find out that, you know, your favorite indie guy is going to be on TV, you're definitely going to watch, and so on and so forth. So I feel like AEW is taking advantage of these indie wrestlers who have these niche followings, and therefore partnering with their social media and theirs and you know, and the wrestler social media and AEW social media to honestly just bring more eyes to everybody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's strategies like that that's helping AEW. And, you know, y'all probably heard this before, but AEW has been winning in the key demographic. Therefore, Chris Jericho has that sweet Demo King shirt. So, you know, the ratings don't lie, you know, and I am very quick to say that because I support AEW, and so that's why I guess I'm kind of biased in that understanding, you know.
I'm not a big ratings guy. You watch what you watch and you like what you like, but you know, I do remember, you know, watching an episode of Ups and Downs, and Simon says he can't imagine The Rock or Stone Cold, you know, talking about demos back in the day. So it kind of takes you out of wrestling some when that's the focus or what that's the talking point. Yeah, you know?
they're definitely like these backhanded comments that, you know, that
you have to have your smarky fedora on if you want to keep up with what they're talking about. If you're just a regular, if you're just watching for the sport or for the fun of it, you're not really going to know much what they're talking about. But, yeah, it's just AEW and WWE throwing shots back at each other. Mm-hmm. Which, speaking of AEW throwing shots at WWE, we had another surprise on AEW pop up.
Okay. So I was kind of mad at this section because, you know, again, I'm
just
a big
proving
fan of
your point. I mean, proving points.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Warhorse. That should have been the thing. I think Warhorse did a great job defending Cody, you know, and then all of a sudden, you know, he gets jumped by the Putty Patrol of the Dark Order. And then guess who comes out? Mr. AEW, or an AEW, Mr. AEW, woo, Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona, coming out and bailing out his homeboy, bailing out his friend, Cody Rhodes. So he made his debut, and although he's not quote-unquote officially signed, I saw that he already has a shirt out. Oh, so wow. I'm sure he signed. It's just, he's got a shirt. I'm sure he's going to be signed because they have to trademark that shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
he just hasn't had his contract signing like FTR, huh?
exactly. And I think, you know, it makes for good television, these little contract signings, you know. But what do you think? You know, his homeboy has a wrestling promotion. And he hired his homeboy. Well, what do you think? And he looks like a jacked hot dog.
Man, you know what I think? I feel like it's just more of the same, which is what me and Rock have talked about before. It's like they do something good, and then they turn around and they do something like this, which is like, on the one hand, I understand because we've only had WWE for so long. And before that, it was WCW versus WWE. So any other promotion coming up on TV, you're going to compare it to the last time you saw some promotions go at each other, which right now they are pretty much the WCW of now, AEW is. But
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Zack Ryder, I don't know what his pull is or what he's going to bring. I do remember before he got the Intercontinental title, like, you know, he was doing YouTube stuff and things that had got him popular, and that's why they gave him the title, because he, like, got himself over, but then WWE shitted on him after that. So I don't really know what Matt Cardona can bring to AEW. Also be feeling like they... Just one more thing. I feel like they'd be bringing like some real like white bread motherfuckers over to AEW.
Yes. All right.
and I say that because who else did they bring? They brought that Perfect 10 dude over. Like,
yeah, Sean Spears.
Sean Spears. Then brought this guy over, Matt Cardona, and I'm like their names are weak, and it's just like they're playing. Like they just show up in like jeans or something and no shirt on, and it's like, hey. You guys remember me from WWE?
Hi, I'm from WWE. Hi.
Hi, well, I'm white man, and you might remember me from such wrestling promotions.
Such as white man wrestling. So let me ask you something, though. And so let's draw the comparisons. Let me ask you, do you like AEW Dean Ambrose or WWE Dean Ambrose?
I like AEW.
AEW Dean Ambrose, right? Let me ask my son. Son, do you like AEW John Moxley or Dean Ambrose from WWE?
John Moxley.
That's right. So, again, it draws a comparison. And, like, honestly, Sean Spears on AEW, I like him better in AEW versus the WWE gimmick because he used to rock that stupid cone thing and do the 10 thing all the time.
Right, but you on know? AEW, I don't know of him doing anything besides bashing Cody's head in. Now I think he was looking for a tag partner or something. Like he hasn't done anything special, and that's what I'm saying. Like you're comparing John Moxley. Well, John Moxley leaving WWE and AEW, getting them like it was a big deal. He went through to Japan. He did the whole same thing that Cody did when he left, like the pilgrimage. And then, you know, became champ and stuff. But just the guys that, you know, the only thing that they did different is that he didn't pop up as soon as he left WWE as far as Matt Cardona.
And I'll give you that, yeah.
He was sitting out for a while, so when he popped up, it is a surprise. But it's still just a ex-WWE guy.
Well, and so, again, it kind of helps draw the comparison a little bit further. You know, you have AEW Moxley. Is better than WWE, you know, Dean Ambrose. Right now, I feel like AEW Chris Jericho is almost better than WWE Chris Jericho. You know what I'm saying? Sean Spears, now that he has this edge about him, I like him better here. Who else is on the roster? Let me see here. Brody Lee. Do you like him better on AEW or WWE?
I don't really like the character that he's playing on AEW. I'll be honest with it. I was hoping that he was going to come over and be more. I'm glad that they don't have him wearing that weird Exalted costume that he first started in. But just making him a play off of Vince McMahon is now like, okay, where's the payoff? Like, he's a play between Vince McMahon and Bray Wyatt, like with the cult leader and stuff. And yeah, his cult is, you know, gaining members and stuff like that.
Cool, yeah.
But I'm just like, I don't just like seeing him in a suit.
Well, yeah, when he's
talking or being a dick to people, like, I want to see him fight.
Yeah. And I think they're creating the narrative that he's the big boss, right? Right. Mm-hmm. The big boss doesn't fight for any reason. And right now his career, he's 7-1. So he's got pull. Another example, do you like AEW Dustin Rhodes or WWE Goldust?
I probably like them more as Goldust. Honestly, I could give a fuck about Dustin Rhodes and AEW. Like,
okay.
He's there only for namesake and being, you know, sure, Cody's brother and bringing some pull to AEW. But whenever he has a match, like, I turn it or I don't watch his tag matches. Like,
okay,
the shit does not, you know, other, yeah. And other than when he's fighting Cody and shit, like, you know, I know you said that was like a real big match, you know, and I understand the story and stuff behind that. But mm-hmm. What is he doing? He's hanging out with Cody's wife and, well, she's tagging, yeah, with somebody from Dark, and like, I don't, yeah, know what the fuck they're doing.
Lately he's been acting as the you know, almost as the, I guess you would call it, I don't want to call him, well, I wanted to call him a trainer. He's been helping with you know, with the Nightmare Sisters, I think that's what it's called.
Yeah, that's what he should fall back into, more of a role like DDP, and
right,
and be more of a trainer and not have as many matches and be on TV as much, because I don't think that he is a draw like that. I mean, maybe his name is a draw, but that would be to old wrestling fans, right? When we should, right, be building new stars. So nothing against him. I feel, sure, like, I just feel like that his story is not played out, but has played out, because he came, yeah, and he did his stuff with his brother already. So after that,
and that was his story. Yeah, right. That was it. Like, they told the narrative, and now he's in a supporting role, mm-hmm, and should probably stay that way. Maybe he can be like the guy who takes the bumps to really push Cody to the limit, kind of like what happened with Jake Hager. You know, again, right, do you like Jake Hager or Jack Swagger?
Neither.
So, I mean, but we can go on, like, right? Like, I think
at least he had the We the People chant on WWE. Right, yeah, now he just stands around mugging.
But I mean, but the list can go on. Like, I think Pac in AEW is dope. I'm glad that he's not with WWE now. Same thing with Matt Hardy. Like, Matt Hardy is in full control of his character, and he's able to do what he wants, essentially, you know?
Well, I feel like when you brought up Jericho and said that he's better now than WWE, maybe a little better, but I feel like it's still the role or gimmick he's playing is similar to what he was doing last with WWE with Kevin Owens, you know? So,
for sure. And that was, you know, his biggest, that was definitely his biggest, like, his most memorable, more recent memorable role. Yeah, run. Yeah. You got it.
Yeah, definitely. And now he's just got more people around him, but he's pretty much that same role. So, you know, I thought that when Jericho came over that he was going to be more evil and not as comical as he is deciding to be. Because, right, when he came, he was coming from New Japan. He had just got the new move in his set, the Judas Elbow, like the outfits he was wearing, the entrances he was doing, like, seemed like he was going to be more on that type of shit. But now that, you know, he is surrounded by a bunch of people, like, they're just having fun, and he probably has more say in his character. But yeah, they're just doing like goofball antics and stuff, which is fine. It all has its place. But I'm just saying that's the same thing he was doing in WWE, being kind of goofy. Pac, he was building that persona that he's using now in his last run in WWE before he left. So, you know, I can still look at WWE and see the same, or, you know, where that came from. What I'm saying is somebody like Zack Ryder, he got shit annoying. He shouldn't go anywhere but up, but I don't see, like, what are they going to do to him to make him exciting to me? Because as of right now, him coming out and saving Cody didn't excite me. Him coming from WWE didn't excite me. What he was wearing didn't excite me. So as of right now, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's like when you get a trade, but the trade is shit.
Yeah. Versus, again, I felt like that match should have stayed hot. It should have stayed. The spotlight should have stayed on Warhorse, you know? That's why when he came,
was in the same match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, that spotlight should have stayed on Warhorse. Warhorse should have just took the beating. Warhorse should have just gained sympathy with the crowd by taking that beating. Hell, you could have even had Brody Lee come out and try to do another recruitment, or maybe Evil Uno to try to recruit. You know, so just let, you could have let that nugget, that little seed planted. And then when that seed grows, it could have, you know, grown into something, relevant in the future of AEW.
But I think that's still my thing is like, okay, Neo, what do you think that they could have built up in relevance to make Matt Cardona's fucking Zack Ryder's entrance into AEW memorable or to have been something?
Dude. I think you stumped me on that one because he doesn't fit right now. There's honestly no place for him. Like, I feel like AEW could be at capacity right now, you know?
Because what if they throw him in this, if they throw him in this, there's a kerfuffle of storylines that are like jumbled together and it's all around the Elite and FTR and Cody and fucking, all of those guys. So I'm like, is he just about to be another red herring of, oh, could he be joining the new four horsemen or whatever? Because I'm like, sure. That to me, that's the only place he would fit. And I don't want him in that.
No.
But he's just so plain that that's where he would fit.
Yeah. He does not belong there.
He's Mongo. Sure.
What will Mongo do? Oh yeah. Yeah. He could be like the equipment manager for the new Four Horsemen.
That's what I'm saying. You know, just jeans and a jacket or in some glasses or something. Like,
yeah.
You just like, you know, like the NWO, like when they started gathering a bunch of people and it's like, oh, like you got an NWO shirt on, but I don't know what the fuck your name is. Like,
yeah.
That's him to me. Like he would fall into some place and I feel like he would get overshadowed by other people or other members and things that's going on. So who knows? Maybe he'll tag up with Sean Spears since is he still looking for a tag partner?
I think so. And that's kind of where, you know, that's why I like the anticipation and the suspense of this new Four Horsemen idea, right? Because you have FTR being super buddy-buddy with Hangman.
I think that's your three right there, and I don't know who the fourth is going to
be. Well, Arn in the ear of Cody, that could have been my fourth. Like, it could have been Cody,
uh-huh.
Hangman, and FTR.
Which makes sense. They got the look. They got the old school wrestling style.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that is my choice currently.
I mean, that's the only one that makes sense for me because I feel like outside of that, the Bucks are still the Bucks, and then you have Kenny, who seems like he's going to be going heel. So if you got Kenny turning back into the cleaner going heel and the Young Bucks being the Bucks, then the only odd men out are FTR and Hangman, which are already buddy-buddy. So like you said, if you throw Cody into that as being their leader or the leader of the Four Horsemen, then, you know.
It makes for a great narrative. It really does.
Are they going to call themselves the new Horsemen? Or are they going to come up with a different name? What you think?
Well, I think they'll definitely call themselves the Neo Horsemen.
Okay,
that's right.
And is that why Cody's been using the finger four
a lot
more lately?
Yeah, like, and you know, it was funny because, like, even on the most recent, you know, episode, right, when AR did their contract signing, Hangman Page was dropping old school wrestling nuggets. Like, oh, you know, welcome back. What was it? Welcome back, Memphis Wrestling, and and saying shit like, oh, you look like Barry Windham or something like that. You know, dropping all those all that nostalgia nuggets of wrestling into the conversation. And you know what I like the most? I'm not sure if a lot of people caught this, but there was that segment backstage because they announced that like that huge tag team match with FTR and the Elite going up against I think it's the Dark Order. Did you see the little like subtle Hangman Page handed the title to Cash Wheeler, I think, and then when he tried to get, you know, pull it back, Cash didn't want to let it go. See, it's like little stuff like that I think can really go a long way as well, because you just don't know what's going to happen, and therefore it grips you and enthralls you, and you get sucked in to watch some more.
Right, but I think, you know, since Kenny and Hangman are the tag champions, but FTR is an actual tag team, yeah, I feel like that's going to be the implosion, which is what it's building towards. But, Kenny Omega is going to cost them to lose the titles. And that's right. going to cause probably his heel turn and his split from Hangman, because that's probably going to cause their blowout. Right. Which, even though FTR beat him and Kenny, he's not going to fall out with them because he didn't get the pin and, you know, just blah, blah, blah.
I can
see it coming a mile away. Doesn't mean it's not going to be good.
So if you're listening, WWE, AEW, whoever, we can book your show. Just let us know.
I should have been booking your shows already, WWE.
Should have been booking. I've been booking. I've been booking. You ain't reading my notes.
Right.
But I think, you know, the AEW show, it was a good filler show, honestly. I felt like this show definitely just kind of set us up for the next show.
We had another, we had somebody else show up too. I don't know what her name is. They say she wrestled for WWE in 2016. And she showed up, and she's supposed to be, is she her tag partner?
So she's Nyla Rhodes, former WWE star, Ariane Andrew or Cameron, debuts on AEW. I think that's her name, Ariane. But she was on the WWE with part of the Funkadelics back in the day, like 2016, I think. And so I don't get it. She's like, oh, I'm back. I'm like, bitch, where you been? Like, no one knows about you. Like, I don't even know who she was. I literally had to Google who was the chick on AEW wearing purple. Like, it didn't make sense to me, but, I mean, all right. Let's just see how this goes.
I was like, is you trying to steal some Naomi swag? What's going on here?
I know, right? Trying to doppelganger your way in. But it's an interesting concept that they're putting together, right? It's called this AEW Women's World Tag Team Tournament, The Deadly Draw.
Yeah, so, that is going to be on there. It's going to be on the AEW YouTube channel. So
right.
Pulling a page out of some WWE Mixed Match Challenge.
For sure. And the fact that AEW still uses Dark as a platform, you know, and they're going to put this, you know, to kind of further that platform, this could be due to the fact that when they do their normal recordings, I think they also record episodes of Dark when they do their recordings, right?
Yeah, they do. They normally record, like, I think it's an episode in the beginning and an episode at the end. Not an episode, right, but a match, and then they put those on Dark.
So this was my theory. I think they're going to do this because, you know, they do have an abundance of women's wrestling that, you know, is not being as debuted as it should be. Mm-hmm. And that's why, like, the NXT women's roster is, like, up so above everybody else right now, including Raw and SmackDown and AEW. I think they're just heads above right now on NXT. And I feel like AEW doing this type of move, I just feel like it's another way for showcase for free the women's division, which is smart.
Definitely. I mean, they got to figure out a way to do it. They're, you know, They only have so long per episode, and you know.
Yeah.
So, and the women,
you hit the nail on the head.
The women's matches always seem like they're like just thrown together, pulling names out of a hat, which is what they're doing now, pulling team members out of a hat, basically.
Out of a box.
Putting teams together, and a la WWE, they do this all the time too, just take random people and make them a team. And then those teams are sometimes successful, so we'll see if we get any new burgeoning women's tag teams that look like they're going to stick together and maybe be future stars of WWE, and I mean, not WWE, AEW, and then also see what other stories they string together. It'll be funny if Big Swole comes back, and then or if Big Swole gets put in a tag team with Britt Baker.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Because that since they're beefing, and you can't really, you know, you gotta have the teammate that you get selected to be with. So, you know, there's gonna be a bunch of "I don't like you, but we gotta work together" type shit going on.
You know, that's reminiscent of Cesaro and Sheamus. Remember that? They had like the Best of Seven series, put on these flame matches, and all of a sudden, you know, became best friends, and they were champions like for a really good good amount of time. And, multiple times over.
Yeah, when it came to the tag team scene, it was them and the New Day for a long time.
Yeah, it was them, the New Day.
And the Usos. The
Usos, yep.
And now Sheamus act like he don't even know Cesaro.
I know, man. They don't even high five anymore.
They don't even talk no more. No.
But yeah, man, I think that was AEW in a nutshell. Other than the main event, which was like this tornado tag, right? I thought that was pretty dope too. Fucking, you know, Ricky, he got his back cut the hell up.
Yeah, man, fuck that. fuck that ghost face kid. What's his name?
Darby Allin.
Darby, man, he needs to get the fuck out of here with that skateboard shit.
Yeah.
You jump on my back with a skateboard that got thumbtacks in it.
We beefing.
I'm gonna see you in the back.
I'm gonna shoot you in the ankle.
Because that stuff looked crazy and
it looked gnarly. Yeah, and that's kind of another thing, right? And I apologize if this all of a sudden became like an AEW podcast, but I mean, I don't know. I just feel like there's more to talk about on AEW right now, you know?
Well, we got to spread the wealth amongst the – we started off with WWE, and right now we're just catching the people up on AEW. But what were you going to say? Something else about AEW?
Well, one last thing before I make the transition. Is there a pay-per-view, like, coming up sometime soon? What's the next pay-per-view for WWE?
For WWE or AEW? AEW is all out, I think.
Okay. What about for WWE? Is it going to be that NXT show, the takeover?
Yeah, there should be a takeover coming up, I believe.
Okay. All right, cool. Well, I guess what I was going to say about AEW is, what is your opinion currently on the whole Taz, Brian Cage, and Ricky Rivas right now? Like, I'm kind of cold on them right now.
I don't know who Ricky Rivas is. I see that he's the guy who's like joined up with Cage, and he looks like another white bread dude to me. So he doesn't look like there's anything like any sparkling glimmer of hope in that guy. He's probably just going to become a meal for Brian Cage in a second.
He could talk though. I mean, he cut a pretty good promo.
Is he? But Taz is Cage's promo guy, so he doesn't need another one.
Well, Cage don't cut no promo, so I think they gave him Ricky in case you know, kind of what happened earlier. He had to go to commentary, and or he had to, you know, bounce out and get ready and go to commentary and, you know, get stuck with Ricky. I don't know. I guess it's too early to say. Then I guess I should really keep an open mind.
Well, it's just weird because like you bring this guy with. You bring Cage, who is a huge talent, and he's known from different indie circuits, and then you team him up with this guy who I don't know who this guy is, and I feel like he's an indie guy too. Right, I figure, but I'm just saying I don't know who he is, but I don't feel like Cage has had enough spotlight on him yet to already be teaming him with somebody. You teamed him with Taz. That's enough.
He already took like that L from Moxley. Right. Know?
So, So now to be teaming him up with somebody already is like, no, like he should still be, you know, because now y'all are trying to what, build Moxley and fucking, I forgot the dude's name already, Ghostface.
yeah, Ghostface, that's his name.
Ghostface Killer with the thumbtacks.
It should be Ghost Kid. Foolish. Foolish, tiny. That's the dude that I took the suplex from at PWG.
Yeah, who got suplexed in your lap. It was him.
Yeah. I was like, when he got thrown on me, I was like, get off me, man. You're on my Jordans.
Tell that guy he owes you a photo op. Hey, dude, you cost me some nachos.
he owes me nachos and a photo op for sure.
But yeah, they're trying to build him in a fight with him and Moxley, but it's like Cage should still be going after Moxley. Like, the match that he lost was due to some bicep injury that he already had, of recently repaired bicep, so right. He didn't tap and Taster win the title, so that should... He should still be in the runnings or still be up there as far as like people going for the main title should be. So I don't think like, I feel like throwing somebody else on him that may not be as well known just becomes like an anchor, like something to pull him down. As you said, you're getting cold on that situation.
Yeah. And the fact that he, you know, he's this FTW champion and trying to go up against Moxley and, you know, losing, he really has to essentially retool what he's doing and really just get some more wins under his belt, you know? Maybe he should be dominating the AEW dark shows or something.
Yeah, or just wreak havoc and just like if he just shows up on the episode of AEW and just beats the fuck out of Moxley backstage and like, you know, that'll bring some hype back to him, you know?
That'd be dope. Mm-hmm. That'd be dope.
Like, I haven't beat you in the ring, so I'm just beat the crap out of you.
Yeah.
Backstage, you know, they do a whole thing where Moxley's gone for the show, and then he comes back at the end of the show, and then they have another fight.
Yeah, like he should definitely be the you know, because Braun Strowman was that monster against Roman Reigns, and that was a monster that we all liked. He should kind of be that monster here in AEW.
Yeah, he should be like Samoa Joe.
Just choking people out, flipping people away.
Just beating people up until he gets what he wants, basically.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that. I like that narrative much better. Let's go with that.
Yeah, bullying people and giving them matches are wreaking havoc until, you know, whoever. I don't even know who the fuck. Does AEW have a William Regal or somebody who, like, books matches, or do it just happen? I don't.
they kind of happen from the truck. So, so Tony Khan, like you'll hear it throughout the show. Tony Khan just sent us a note that the next week's match is going to be, you know, Darby Ghostface Kid versus Moxley. You know, and so that kind of came out there. So it's kind of like, you know, Tony Khan's like this.
Tony Khan's the general manager.
Yeah, he's this. He's kind of like this backdoor character where, you know, he's the one, he's the owner and he's booking the matches, so to speak, quote unquote. He's like, I want to call him like Jack Tunney right now because he's kind of playing that role. And uh-huh. He also, you know, jumps on the social media and he'll say some shit about like, you know, things that are relevant to the brand. Would you like to see Brian Cage put Tony Khan through a table or like pigeonhole Tony Khan to getting what he wants?
Yeah, that'll be cool. I mean, if Tony Khan is outside in the truck, like, have Brian Cage bust into the truck. Like, show him choke up, you know, by his collar, Tony Khan. Tell him, you know, something like that. You can have you could show, and you ain't gotta show it. I mean, you can show it or you can just hint to it. You could like show the production truck and show Taz and Cage walking to it. You can cut the commercial or something, you can cut back, it'll just be Taz outside the truck, yeah. Like, oh shit, where's Cage at? Then all of a sudden you see Cage like come out the truck, then you know, you get one of the announcers saying like, oh, Tony Khan just booked this match. Well, you know why.
Cause he dookied himself.
So,
okay, yeah. I'm down for that. Like, I can really, I wouldn't mind seeing something small. Like, I don't want it to be a whole driven storyline, But, I mean, oh, I guess it could be because Tony Khan, he would have to recoup his manhood, right? Like, he'd have to be like, I ain't take no shit, and maybe hire Jeff Cobb to come beat the shit out of Brian Cage, you know, something like
that. Well, then we get into a situation where it's like, okay, well, how physically fit is Tony Khan? And, you know, he loves wrestling. He wanted to start this. Does he have any moves?
He's going to book himself.
Just some revenge. Is he going to get a chance to do like a super kick or something? Or, you know,
I want to see
the Brian Cage and run.
I want to see Tony Khan do a Hurricanrana and then just run away. A topic on Hilo.
You know, and then he'll do something, and then he'll get protected because he's the boss. So, like, he'll run, and then some people will come save him, you know?
Yeah. Because it kind of reminds me of back, you know, Lucha Underground, you know, where you had Dario Cueto, who's this chicken shit promoter, and, you know, and he had Matanza Cueto, Jeff Cobb, you know, kind of running his heat. I think that'd be a fun narrative. We'll see.
Yeah, he can bring some what team do they own? The Jacksonville Jaguars or something? He can bring some football players.
Ooh, yeah. And then
get them an offensive line to protect them.
Talk about taking it back to, like, who did that? What was it, LT versus Bam Bam Bigelow? Oh, man, that's taking it back. I like that. This is good.
I'm just saying he could like, book some football players and make them, like, security or something. They could wear security outfits. But I'm just saying, like, after he gets jumped by, like, Brian Cage or something, now he's got, like, a security detail and they're football players.
The football players are like, yeah,
we got – Right, since there's no season.
Yeah. We going to beat your ass.
we're seasonal security.
It kind of reminds me of that movie. What was that? The one with Keanu Reeves and he was playing the football.
Oh, you're talking about fucking Jesus, where they were surfers? Point Break.
No, not Point Break. He actually played football. He was a quarterback.
Oh, but he was an ex-football player in Point Break, though.
Oh, okay. Well, I just remember.
Yeah, you're talking about the other movie, where he's actually playing football. Yeah, okay.
Because I remember Keanu Reeves, like his centers or blockers were there were these two black guys, these two brothers who were bouncers at the club, you know.
Yeah, it's like the Rejects or something.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's called the Replacements.
The Replacements, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because the football was on strike. And then they were the people that they got to keep the season going.
Yeah, I just remember his security detail was those two big brothers that used to do security. Man, that'd be a good narrative. All right. Well, that's wrestling in a nutshell. If you have anything you wanted to add up.
Nah, there you have it, bitches.
So, this is episode 179. Be sure you like, you share this, subscribe to this. You can check us out on geekscape.com. You can also check us out at thesteelcage.com.
Before we get out of here, we do got a snack for them.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. We actually got a burial and a snack. So you want to do the snack?
Sure thing. I'll do the snack and throw it your way for the burial. So this week's snack, shout out to Rock Knowledge, who is not here, but we holding it down for him on the snack tip, is Miss Vanity. Her Instagram name is Wrestle Bay, so Wrestle BAE, and Vanity is the women's champion of, I'm sorry, I don't have the information up, I'm pulling it up.
Wrestle Bay, current women's champion of BCW wrestling. It's a promotion out there in, I think it's what, new, it's in the East Coast for show.
I was looking for the big picture of it.
Yeah, but she's a BCW champion, and you know what? She's holding it down. I think she's been, you know, champion for a while, but it's BCW. It's in the East Coast. You can also follow them. It's a Brie Combination Wrestling on Instagram also.
BRII_combination_wrestling. Yeah, BCW, they're an East Coast wrestling promotion. She is the current women's champion. She's holding it down. She looks good with that title. She is thickalicious, the way that you know the Matt Mania podcast likes them.
Bubble bath enthusiast.
Yeah, Neo says she's a bubble bath aficionado. Mm-hmm. She likes to get wet.
She looking good.
Charlie Murphy.
Good. Yeah, check her out, man. She also has a link to her YouTube, and hey, her YouTube's filled with some of her matches, so get your Wrestle Bay fix in.
Exactly. So go enjoy you some wrestling and enjoy you some eye candy at the same time. Again, Wrestle Bay is this week's, what's this episode, Neo?
179.
Episode 179, Snack of the Week. She's a snack of the week. Okay.
So while you enjoy that snack, please, please do not snack on the mysterious Chinese seeds that are being sent randomly here in the United States. Okay, that's my burial. Chinese seeds, y'all.
We don't need them.
We don't want them. We don't want your Chinese nuts. We don't want the Chinese seeds. Listen, we love China, right?
And Chinese food.
And Chinese food, but we don't need these random-ass Chinese seeds. Now, if you're going to send me seeds, at least tell me what they are, okay? Because if you have Chinese weed, we'll grow it. But don't be sending me some fake-ass seeds, right? And then they turn into, like, Attack from the Killer Chinese Tomatoes or something, right?
Right, see? We don't need no little Shop of Horrors plant life growing over here because y'all just send the seeds and some stupid person will be like, oh, they'll try to grow these seeds and see what they are, and then it'll be fucking monster plants growing because they're stupid. It'll be like Jack and the Beanstalk where he just throws the beans and then they just start growing. Like,
we don't need that. But, yeah. We know it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. But
if you got that Kim Jong OT, let me know.
You got that Kim Jong Kush.
Right. Know.
we know it's tongue-in-cheek. But, hey, it's out there in the news. You know, mysterious seeds from China are landing in different mailboxes here in the United States. We don't know what they are. Obviously, we have customs for a reason to not mess up our ecosystem here. Because we like hot dogs and hamburgers and pizzas, all right? That's what we like.
America.
And, but I'm interested to see where this comes from. But even China said, hey, don't do anything with the seeds. In fact, send them, China even said, send them back to us so we can investigate what's going on. Because the plot thickens. Maybe China wants us to send it back because maybe they're like mysterious, super healthy seeds, make your dick wet like all the time. You know, we don't know.
Shit, or maybe Donald Trump is sending the seeds out under the guise that they're from China to try to pull the wool over our eyes like he's known to do.
So this is now a tinfoil hat episode of the Matt Mania podcast.
Exactly. And you're gonna see a press conference from Donald Trump telling you about the kung flu seeds.
What if these seeds give you kung fu powers though?
Would you take them?
Oh, for sure. Then I could become like the new Master Watto.
So before we get out of here, now I have to go on a tangent real quick because that made me think of something and I'm going to ask you.
Wait. Before you get on the tangent, though, is it a Master Watto tangent?
Yes.
All right, here we go.
I don't know what that is, but it's going to be a Master tangent, though. Watch this. So have you ever seen the movie Limitless?
Yes.
Okay. So like you were just saying about these seeds, like, oh, what if these seeds teach you kung fu or do something or whatever? So in Limitless, you know, he takes that pill and he doesn't know what the pill's made out of. Like, this guy just gave him the pill and he took it or whatever, right? So, like, I was talking to somebody and I'm like, man, you know, like, I've never done any drugs besides weed, right? So I'm like, I'm not like a pill popper. I don't do shrooms, like XE, acid, all that type of shit. I'm like, you would have had to be a like hardcore drug user or just like down on your luck ass piece of shit like he was in Limitless in order to get these powers. Like, it doesn't happen to a good guy who's like, you know what, I don't do drugs, because you would have had to try the drug to do it, you know? So I'm like, if somebody passed you along some strange drug and was like, hey Nia, like red and blue pill type shit, like, hey Nia, this shit is going to expand your mind,
yeah,
how on a scale of 1 to 10 do you think that you are to do it?
Well, first and foremost, thank you, Doctor Wearing Jeans, for this buffet of pills. You know, I don't know. It's kind of weird because you're right. Like, the dude was down on his luck. He had nothing to lose, and he gained everything.
Right, and he was an ex-pill popper. He said it, you know. He was like, he was still in his dying grandmother's Percocet and shit like that. So, like, he's used to popping pills. So, yeah, like, exactly. This guy was down on his luck, down on getting ready to lose his book deal. He was an alcoholic piece of shit. And then he takes this pill, and then, like I said, gets everything. Like, at the end of the movie, he's campaigning to be president at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it also drives the narrative of, like, what if you're waiting on your, what if you're waiting to fly on your airplane, right? And some guy comes up to you and he says, hey, don't get on the plane, and just walks away. Like, what are you going to do? You know what I'm saying? It's that same thing. Like, this pill can offer you everything. Okay. Like you really have to, like, have super faith in people. Like, if you're going to start popping pills and try to become limitless.
I don't think he had faith in people. I don't think he had faith in people. I think he just had nothing going on in his own life that he was like, what the hell do I have to lose? And just took the pill. And then it's like, oh shit, it turned me into Superman. I'm like, come on now, somebody can offer me that. But then I'm like, shit, if they offer me that, I'm not going to take it, because they're going to be like, hey, Zeke, this pill will make you Superman. I'll be like, get the fuck out of here, and I'll throw that pill in the trash. Like,
can I grind it down and smoke it? I'll do that. Can I grind it? Do you have it in Alka-Seltzer form?
do you have the superhuman kush that if I smoke that will turn me into... yes, I would do that. But no, I'm not popping nobody's strange pills, clear pills in a Ziploc bag. No, no print on it. No, nothing. Just
from a guy wearing jeans and a tank top.
Well, a guy who used to be a dealer, but he told you that this pill is worth $800. Is that going to make you take it?
Yeah, man, that's super sketch. I think I would really have to be like, I'd probably have to have nothing to lose in order to take that.
Yeah, I just thought that was funny because you were talking about that just now, and I'm just like, man, it sucks that it's like, you know, sometimes you feel like that in your life, that you feel like, oh man, I'm doing everything the right way and everything is so hard for me, and I'm just like trying to stay afloat, and then you see like these scammers or these people that are like doing like fucked up shit, and you're like, man, they always seem to be on top or winning, doing something, while I'm over here struggling.
You know, like, I had a thought too, and I know we were supposed to wrap this episode up, but this is a thought. Like, I was thinking to myself, I could sell drugs.
it ain't that hard.
I did. Like, I was, I forget what I was watching, I forget what episode I was watching. I think I was watching Close Enough, and I think he was trying to buy drugs. And I was thinking to myself, man, I could probably sell drugs. And then I was thinking to myself, who do I know has drugs? Me? Like, I don't know. I thought I could do it. I don't think I could do it.
You just gotta get out there into that drug game, right? Because that's the thing. It's like, you might do drugs, which you don't even really do it. But it's like, if somebody does drugs, like, I smoke. But because I smoke, if I get weed and then try to sell weed, do I have that clientele that's going to buy weed from me? Because I don't hang around a bunch of people. So now it's like, now I have to get out there. And so I think it's only good if you already like have that clientele or that kind of people around you. Because if not, then you got to get out there and try to like, you know, let people know. You got to get out there and campaign that you got the weed now.
You got to build a book of business.
like if you've ever walked into like a shady gas station and it's that guy outside the gas station, is like, hey, I got that tree. You know, you got to be out there doing that type of shit. Sketchy.
You mean that's cold calling? I don't do cold calling.
Well, hey, man, I come from the D, cold calling all the time. I used to love going to the gas station or going to the liquor store, and somebody be like, hey, I got that tree. I'll be like, hold on, I'll be right out. Let me see what you got.
I'll be right out.
I was actually just looking for that. So,
like, what a happy accident.
I came to this gas station specifically for that.
You know what, though? If it was me and at the gas station, I'd be like, hi, I got that tree. Hi.
Dude, I don't be having no I don't be having no fucking chill when it comes to that shit. Like, fucking, I was at the QT the other day, and somebody was in there buying cigars at the register next to me. I was like, oh shit, I see what you about to be getting into. I was like, you got that trigger on you now? he's like, nah, I ain't got it on me. He was like, I know where to get it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to get it too, but I thought that you could have saved me a trip. So,
well, I'm surprised you didn't turn around and say, you know, are you the police? You know, you have to legally tell me.
Nah, because that shit don't work.
He just bust him upside his head.
Entrapment is some bullshit. But anyways, Matt Maniacs, that was a little tangent me and Neo just went on right there. Just, you know, giving you a little extra at the end of that pod, you know, to send you off on your way. No Chinese Seeds, Wrestle Bay, Vanity as the snack of the week. Watch more AEW wrestling.
Watch what you love, man. Hell, New Japan's on it. You know, WWE's doing it. You know, just watch what you love. Hell, watch some archive stuff.
Yeah. If you still support the WWE network, like plenty of old wrestling on there. So again, back to my point in the beginning of the show, there's so much entertainment out there that you have not absorbed. So if you're mad at wrestling's current state, you can go watch some old stuff that you missed. You can, you know, do any of that stuff. And as always, hit us up on Twitter and let us know if you got any questions. If you have any snack of the weeks, not yeah. Snack of the weeks, but you know, anyone nominees. That you're interested in, yeah, nominees yeah. for that. If you have any putovers that you would like for us to know about, what have you been into this week or this month? I asked this question on Facebook. I said, has there been any hobbies that you have revisited or any new hobbies that you have started since you've been on quarantine? Stuck in the house, so
yeah,
you
know,
we all gotta have something to deal with during this time, you know, to keep our minds off of it. So let us know what you're doing, and you know, we'll always come and let you guys know what we're doing on another yeah. episode of Matt Mania Podcast.
Be sure to use the hashtag putover.
Yes sir. So I am Teak underscore Hall.
I am at the Neo X, NEOECKS.
You can find us on Twitter. It's what, Matt Mania Podcast on Twitter, Matt Mania yes, Pod on IG.
Yep, and you can listen to us on geekscape.net and at the Steel Cage.
Yes, sir. So catch us next time, if it is a next time, which it should be a next time.
Yes, sir, yeah. Absolutely.
And enjoy another great week of wrestling. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Keep your shoulders off the mat, y'all.
Oh, yeah, that too. We out.